This morning comes from Psalm 81. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our festal day. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a voice I had not known. I relieved your burden, your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called, and I rescued you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Then I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Though you hate the Lord, those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their doom would last forever. I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. The word of our Lord.
Be to God. Thanks, Nancy. She got to read the whole Psalm 81, so thank you. Our scripture reading this morning, the second one, comes from 2 Kings, also called the Book of Kings, chapter 6, verses 11 to 19. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now the mind of the king of Aram was greatly perturbed because of this. And he called his officers and said to them, "Now tell me, who among us sides with the king of Israel?" He's upset because somebody has figured out his plan to attack the people of God. Then one of his officers said, "No one, my lord king. It is Elijah, the prophet in Israel, who tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." It's Elijah. He's the mole. He said, "Go and find where he is, and I will send and seize him." He was told he is in Dothan. So the king of Aram, he sent horses and chariots there and a great army, and they came by night, and they surrounded the city. When an attendant of the man of God, of Elijah, rose early in the morning and went out, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. His servant said, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" Elijah replies, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them." Then Elijah prayed, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Arameans came down against him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike these people, please, with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. And Elijah said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask that we have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. So what is the coolest Halloween costume you have ever experienced? So the coolest Halloween costume I have ever experienced is a kid in a ghillie suit. So if you don't know what a ghillie suit is, I didn't know until I experienced it. A ghillie suit is, it looks like Chewbacca, and it's something that hunters or military people wear when they're trying to blend in with their surroundings. It's like 3D camouflage. If you're trying to hide in trees, it looks like leaves. If you're trying to hide in grass, you've got like bits of grass attached. So it's Halloween in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's a ring at my doorbell. I open the door. Nobody there. Nobody's there. And then all of a sudden, this kid lunges out of my landscaping at me dressed like a bush. And he's like, "Trick or treat!" And he scared me to death. But it was so funny. I gave him like half of our candy. Best costume ever. Apparently, when I opened our door, I didn't realize that there were now three bushes in my landscaping instead of two until he literally ambushed me. So, Disney princess costumes are so cool, but ghillie suit for Halloween ambush is really where it's at. So, in our scripture passage this morning, the people of God are going to be ambushed by a foreign army. That's what's going on. So, our story today in 2 Kings chapter 6 is about a prophet named Elisha with an S. So Elisha's a prophet. He's a man of God. Prophets in the Bible were people who spoke for God. They were God's mouthpiece, so to speak, and they spoke for God to God's people, to God's king, and even to kings of other nations and people of other nations. And so Elisha, with an S, is a prophet. He got his prophetic calling from his mentor, Elijah, with a J. So it's just like the alphabet. Elijah came first, and then Elisha. And so Elisha, in our story today, is a man about town. He is no, like, tiny house-living John the Baptist. He's a worldly man. And so Elijah's a man about town and a man of God, and so that means he's got connections, lots of connections in the king's court. And so he hears one day about a plot, and the plot is that the king of Aram, where we would call Syria, is going to ambush God's people. They're going to hide and wait. When our people, God's people, come by, they're going to attack us and probably take a bunch of our land and our stuff. So this is no good, said Elisha. So he tells the king of Israel what's going on. And our people are saved from an Old Testament ghillie suit ambush. Praise the Lord. But we are told in our passage this morning that the king of Aram is not happy about this. In fact, the Bible actually says he's greatly perturbed over this. And he asks among his people, he says, "Who among us sides with Israel?" He knows he's got like a mole in court, like a snitch, someone who's sharing state secrets with Israel. And the courtiers, they're like, "Well, it's not me, but you know what? Check out that guy, that man of God, Elisha. The one we've seen wandering around court with a microphone taped to his Calvin Klein's. Yeah, he might be your guy. He's in Dotham." And so the king says, "Find him and bring Elijah to me." And so the king sends out his army, his mighty army. And they go to Dotham, where Elisha and the people of God are living. And in the dark of night, they surround the city of the people of God, and they bring their horses and their chariots and their armor, and the people of God are doomed. So dawn rises in the city of Dotham, and the people of God, what do they see? They see that the enemy is all around them. They are surrounded by chariots and warriors and swords and spears and big guys with glistening armor. And they're on every side, and they're like, "We're doomed." And Elijah is there with them. He sees this, and he has a student with him. And the student says, Oh, Master, what should we do? Oh, what should we do? Isn't it good to know that the questions in our hearts are the questions that Scripture cares so much about? What are we going to do? Our pastor is leaving for Stealer Country. Ah! What are we going to do? We have a freshman this year. We have a middle schooler this year. We have a senior this year. What are we going to do? Our parents are aging. What are we going to do? I feel so lonely these days. What are we going to do? My body is wearing out. What are we going to do? The questions of our hearts are the questions of Scripture. So when you face a what do you do situation, I don't know how you react. We would all react differently. When I face a what are we going to do situation in my life, I tend to side with my friend Jim Morrison and the Doors, and I try to break on through to the other side. Okay, so my modus operandi is not to panic, though if you're a panicker, that's okay. But how I deal with situations is I just like to fight or control it or just go faster and harder and stronger and try to win. That is my goal in life when I face a what should we do situation in life. Or I'm just like, if I just ignore it, it won't be there, right? And I think I personally learned my method of functioning from the gym. That's right, the gym. I actually love to work out. I love group workout classes at Gold's Gym. I also love the dessert table at the potluck. So there you have it. But yeah, I love my group instructors like Joe and Heather, and actually Jonathan Castillo, our piano player, is a killer spin instructor at 5:30 in the morning. He cannot be here today, but he's at another musical gig, but he's great too. So if you've ever taken a group exercise class anywhere, you know the lingo. You know how this works, right? No pain, no gain. Right? They'll tell you, just put more weight on that bar, you're stronger than you think. Boundaries are meant to be broken, they yell. Endurance, persevere. You'll see no results from the work you didn't do, right? And so that's pretty much how it works in a group exercise class. That's pretty much the culture. So you're in a group exercise class, I bet a bunch of you have been there somewhere, and you're like working out and you're 45 minutes in, right? And you're sweating so badly and you can't even think straight because your body's so exhausted. And then they're like, high knees for 20 seconds. And you're like, okay, I can do this for 20 seconds. And they're like, okay, I'm doing good. And then it's like 16, 17, 18. And then they're like, keep going, don't stop, no pain, no gain. And you're like, ah! Right? So that's basic how it works, right? In workout classes, boundaries are meant to be broken. No pain, no gain. When you hit an edge, just go harder. But in our spiritual life, the Bible says the exact opposite. So, no pain, no gain is good for our hearts. It's good for our health. When you hit a boundary, just go harder. But in the Bible, for our spiritual life, the exact opposite is true. The Bible says when you hit a situation in life that is troublesome, when you're in a what shall we do situation, the Bible says Selah. It's the Hebrew word for stop and listen. I want you to know this word, Selah, this morning. It occurs 71 times in the book of Psalms. That's how important it is. And 3 times in the prophet Habakkuk's book. So, Selah, it's the Hebrew word for pause and listen. Nancy, when she read our scripture this morning, Psalm 81, she did it beautifully. If you were watching on the screen, It came up, Selah, right before verse 8, and she paused for a second. If you were watching in your Bibles, if you looked at Psalm 81, which was our psalm this morning, so you're going through it, and then right here before verse 8, there's in tiny italics over here, it says, Selah, pause and listen. Selah is in the Psalms 20 or 71 times. It's like a liturgical instruction. It's like a footnote. It's like an emoji from the psalmist. They want you to pause and listen in this moment for where God is calling you in your life or in this piece of scripture. Now, I want to give some full disclosure here. Scholars don't precisely know what Selah means. If you Google it, they'll tell you it means to pause and listen. If you read like 15 scholarly articles on it, the consensus would be pause and listen. But the nuances, they're not too sure about. It might have been in the scriptures so that when the priest is leading worship, because these are the ancient Hebrews, this is their worship book, okay? So the priest is leading, just like Nancy did, Selah maybe means pause for a second and let the congregation listen for God's voice. Maybe it's for the whole congregation as they're reading together. Selah invites them all to stop, pause, and listen for God's voice. It could be instructions for the choir who's singing the psalm. It's a breath mark. Breathe here. Pause. Take a breath. It could even have something to do with weightiness. It's like they're saying, that which comes next is very weighty. Pause for a second. Think about what you just heard because it's weighty. So they didn't have underline on their computers in those days, right? So they couldn't underline. So they said, like, Selah, pause for a second. What was just said was important. So nuances are a little different. Scholars might disagree, but basically they would all agree it's a pause and listen type of calling in our life. Pause and listen. So when we face difficult things in life, when we face what should we do now situations, our natural biological reaction is to fight or flight, right? We want to run towards the danger. We want to run away from it. We're going to panic. Maybe we're going to try to sleep and ignore it like it's not even there. We're going to try to fight through it. We're going to try to go harder and stronger. So those are biological ways we were made to react. Those are also ways that American culture really loves for us to use. So like American culture would really promote that way of functioning. What should we do situation? Fight harder, fight stronger, go fight, win. You know, ignore it, move on, pretend it's not there, panic, run. All of those messages we get in our culture. Our Bible's totally different. When we face a what should we do situation, we're called to pause. Listen for where God is calling us as a family, as a church. Listen for God wants us for where God wants us to go in life. Now hear me on this. Selah does not mean slow down necessarily. Selah pretty much more means shut up and listen for God. So in our story this morning, the people of God are surrounded. Enemy army on every side. In dawn's early light, they discover they are doomed. And so Elijah's little friend, the teenager with him, looks at Elijah and says, "Oh, master, what should we do?" And Elijah, wise man of God that he was, doesn't panic. He pauses. He listens for the voice of God. He remembers who he is and whose he is. He remembers who they are as the family of God and whose they are. And he says, "Do not be afraid, for there are always more with us than there are with them." And then he prays that the teenager with him can see the spiritual reality of the matter. And so he prays that the young servant's eyes be opened. And when the kid opens his eyes, all of a sudden, this young kid can see that all around them is the angel army of God. We are told that the mountain is covered in the war horses of God, that the angels with their glistening gilded armor are there, and all of the great saints and all of the heavenly hosts with their sword and spears, and Elijah's chariots of fire are all around him. And suddenly, that teenager can see that indeed there are always more with us than there ever is with them. When we sit and when we listen, we discover that God's answers to our questions are not always as we would have expected. If you continue to read this story with your family, you will discover that Elisha plays a funny trick, claims he is not the person they're looking for, but I will lead you to him. And that's how the people of God prevail. And so I'm sorry to say there's no great battle here between God's angel armies and the Syrian army. But the strength in this story is found when God's people pause and listen and their eyes are open to that who goes before them and behind them and beside them in life, the God of the angel armies, the God we know as Jesus Christ. May our eyes be opened. May we see that there is always more with us than there ever is with them. That the angel armies and the God of the angel armies goes with us, behind us, before us, to our left and our right. And his name is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, this is a hard time. This is a tough time for this church. And yet we know that Jesus was here long before I came. And Jesus will stay here long after this day. Lord, some of us came today not even worried about the situation of this church. We are worried about something in our life. We have had some tough news. And we are just wondering, what do we do next? Help us all to pause, listen for your voice, that our eyes might be open, that we might discover you are on our side, and that there is always more with us than there is with them. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Please stand and join us in our final song.